Holy Gospel is written in that according to St. Luke in the 16th chapter, beginning to read at the 19th verse. Praise and glory to God. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented and in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then the rich man said, Well, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, Well, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise
to Christ the Word. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the Word of God gets you, and it should. It's meant to. It's meant to call its hearers to repentance. I had a moment just the other week, in fact, just this last week, where I realized something and I saw something that I hadn't seen before. We're probably aware, or we should be aware, that we are using up the resources of the world faster than they are being replenished. And so every day there is a day in the year where we basically declare we've used up all the stuff that we would basically, if we spread it over a year, the earth would just be able to cope and would be able to replenish itself, but we're using it so fast that in fact, last year, I think it was August the 21st. So the human race had used so much of the world's resources by August the 21st that it would actually take an entire year to replenish. So we're using things, and it's, that date is moving further back each year into, so it'll probably be something like August the 5th or something this year, because we're in this time of great acceleration. And we think how terrible it is that the human race is using up the world's resources so quickly, but that wasn't the sobering thing, although that is very sobering because that's about everybody else. But then I kind of reflected in terms of myself, and I did a little bit of research, and I made this discovery that actually by the time I was about 20, I had used up my fair share of the world's resources. That's quite sobering thought, isn't it? You know, that I, as a modern person living in the modern world, have, by the time I was 20, used up all of my fair share. If there's going to be enough for everybody, well, if I got under a bus at 20, then at least I wouldn't have done any more harm than I have. It was a moment of awareness, coming to a deep awareness of the reality of my life, my real life, my real life existence, the real impact of my life. And this question of awareness is very much at the heart of the Christian gospel. When you know the parable of the prodigal son, And of course, what happens is he ends up eventually, of course, feeding the pigs and wishing he could eat the pigs' food. And then it says, and he came then to his senses. He woke up to the reality of his existence. And he thought to himself, and he thought, well, actually, the servants in my father's house, they eat better than this. So I'll go back, I'll grovel to Dad, and Dad will let me back in the house, and at least I'll get to eat better than the pig food. He was making it come to his senses. He kind of figured out what his situation was. Coming to our senses is really vitally important. Now, there's a real danger in this in our modern world. You see, I've just opened up something which is actually really quite painful and difficult to think about. You know, that we are using stuff up so fast that by the time we're of the age of around about 20 or so, we've used up all our fair share, which means that actually elsewhere people aren't getting their fair share. They can't begin to live because we've got all this other stuff and we become aware of it. And that's really hard to become aware of that. But because we, I think, have so lost contact with the reality of our lives, there's a horrible tendency in Christianity to spiritualize the message and say, well, we become aware of God. We become aware of love and we're surrounded by love and we have the spiritual awakening. But as St. John says to us, he that does not look after his brother's needs, the love of God does not dwell in him. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter that you think, oh, God loves me and the world is a wonderful place and it's full of beauty and truth if you carry on living with regard to your brother whom you can see. You see, when Christ is born into the world, he takes on our flesh. It's a real world faith. And that's why we always put these two commandments together. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Understand your life before God. And when we understand our lives before God, we then also understand the reality of our lives one with another. You see, this is the thing with the rich man and Lazarus. As I said, it's a painfully sharp lesson. Jesus actually has said precisely this earlier on in Luke's Gospel, in his version of the Sermon on the Mount, you might call the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, well, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your reward. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be empty. And then at the end, really, of Jesus' teaching on possessions in Luke chapter 16, the passage we've just heard, we hear the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And it's as if the rich man is not aware. He's kind of woken up to his existence too late in the day. He's thought, well, there are rich in the world and there are poor in the world and there's a beggar by my gate, but hey, my life's pretty good. And he probably thinks he has some kind of relationship with God as well. He obviously recognizes Abraham and he understands about Moses and the prophets because he has a conversation with Abraham. So he's there in his awareness, his spiritual awareness, and feasting sumptuously, but the beggar by the gate has gone unnoticed. So he has a relationship with God, he thinks, but he has no relationship with his brother by his gate, and therefore, of course, he does not have that relationship with God, however open his eyes have supposedly become spiritually. Our faith is a profoundly, profoundly rooted world faith that's rooted in the hard things of our existence. When Jesus says, do not worry about what you eat or what you wear, he's not saying, please don't spend your time fussing over your recipe books trying to figure out what you're going to spend or what you're going to eat today. He's basically saying, look, you know you haven't got anything to eat today, but your Father in heaven, if you set your heart and mind upon him, will make sure that you have something to eat today. And of course, our lives have become so disconnected from that, that speaking for myself, I have used up my entire fair share of the world's resources. With regard to my brother and sister, I'm now on my third lap and coming quickly to the end of it. So what is the gospel then for us? Well, the gospel is precisely this. As the gospel is the prodigal son who comes to his senses. He thinks of his father and he realizes the state of his existence. And he goes back to his father and lives from then on in repentance and faith. May God, who feeds us with the living bread from heaven, we don't kind of look at the Eucharist and we don't kind of have a spiritual experience, and we don't kind of look at the bread and look at the wine and have a spiritual experience with it. We eat it and we drink it because it's a real world faith that we have. And in a moment or two, having heard the gospel and having heard the announcement actually of God's forgiveness, we repent of our sins and then we receive this wonderful gift in bread and wine. May we all together be truly awakened to the reality of our existence, because I believe when we are, then the church begins to live in such a way that the world is utterly shaken to the core and transformed to the glory of God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.